Early Wednesday morning, Pius Hines beat out Martin Stashko to win the 2011 World Series of Poker. Hines takes home $8.7 million. Stashko pockets $5.4 million. The event was broadcast nearly live on ESPN2. The game has come a long way from smoke-filled back rooms and bar fights, but as Only a Game's Karen Given reports, some say there's still a lot of work to be done.
The money stays, and you go.
Close your eyes and think of poker, and this might be what you see. A smoke-filled, poorly lit room, a pair of gunslingers sitting over glasses of whiskey, and a debate over who's cheating that ends like this. Now forget Hollywood and think ESPN.
And now, Stashko all in and a call from Pius Hines.
As both players push all in on the final hand of this week's World Series of Poker final, Hines, a 22-year-old German in a pristine white hoodie, sips from a bottle of what looks like tomato juice, while the 35-year-old Czech, Stashko, sweats it out with water. When the cards are revealed and Hines is the winner, he runs into the arms of his parents while his gallery serenades him.
I mean, if anything, it looks like an incredibly boring place where you just, no drinks, no smoke, no bad language, no nothing.
Professor Charles Nessen has been on the faculty of Harvard Law School since 1966. He teaches evidence and internet, and as strange as it might sound, he is an advocate for the sport of poker.
It's time for it to shake loose from the awful reputation it built up through its genesis as a gambling game. It has had an equally distinguished history as an academic pursuit. It's the ideal model. It's one of the first models of economy.
Professor Nessen says strategic thinking, taking risks based on limited information, empathizing with an opponent, and even showing strength from a position of weakness are all skills vital for playing poker and practicing law. Through his poker reading group for first-year law students and the Harvard Poker Thinking Society, which he advises, he's brought the game of poker and its higher-level reasoning skills to countless Harvard Law students. But he's not done. He'd like to see parents play poker with their kids, and even...
So you'd like to see, I don't know, elementary school kids learning to play poker in class?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll get in trouble for it because people say, oh my God, the kids we taught gambling... But yes, absolutely. You don't need to teach kids to play above their means. In fact, the whole thing you want to teach is exactly how to manage your stake. That's it. How do you manage your stake in life?
How do you make most with what you've got?
But how do you also keep from going bust?
Professor Nessen is working with the newly formed U.S. Poker Federation to separate the game of poker from its gambling past. The organization would like to see tournaments set up like any other sport, where participants are competing for sponsors' money and not their own. And they'd like to get the game added to the official roster of mind sports by the International Mind Sport Federation. It's a distinction currently reserved for chess, the Asian game of Go, draughts, which is a 10x10 form of checkers, and duplicate bridge. But Professor Nessen says there's one problem.
In order to qualify as a mind sport in this particular international conception of it, you have to be able to demonstrate that your game is capable of being played completely without chance. That is, completely as a game of skill.
To that end, Professor Nessen and his students at Harvard Law have tested duplicate poker, a form of the game that's played with teams of six players at six different tables with identically shuffled cards to diminish the role of luck. The game gets its first big showcase next week on the London Eye, Europe's largest Ferris wheel. Wednesday night at Harvard University's Queen's Head Pub, first-year law student Brian Koch has no doubt that poker is a game of skill. He should know. He's played in the World Series of Poker and was a full-time professional player for 2 years before coming to law school. He says poker teaches replicable logical thinking that's good for law and life.
So it's like, oh, you went on a bad date. Oh, you had a bad beat with that one, right? Like, things like that. Like, everything is spoken in poker lingo. And we joke about it, but it's like, in a way, it's true that you do want to look at the world that way and just continue to make correct decisions. And sometimes you're going to have negative outcomes. But the basic theory underlying all poker theory is that if you continue to make correct decisions, if you continue to take the 51% chance over the 49% chance over a large enough sample over a long enough time, that's going to come out in your favor and you're going to end up better off.
Not all of Harvard Law's poker players are experienced at the game. Graduate law student Barbara Cebalska pulls out her illustrated poker cheat sheet, which makes Hector Ramos, the second year to her right, think he can take her.
Well, yes, actually. And the great thing is, since she's sitting next to me, I can look at it also.
Ramos has only played poker once before, but he has no doubt that tonight's game is more than just a break from his studies. It's an important part of his education.
All of us have a little fighter inside us, but we have to know when it's the time to fight and when it's the time to back away. In whether you're a lawyer litigating or you're a businessman trying to find a deal, these skills apply to everything you do in life, I think.
Can everyone shuffle?
Well, not so much. Even former pro Brian Koch, who did most of his poker playing online, isn't the world's best shuffler. But while the shuffling might not be top-notch, the intellectual debate led in the Socratic style by Professor Nesson is.
I'm looking for the progression of thought. All right, the flop comes, bang. What do you? How does the mind work?
Well, you know, it's everything's player-dependent, right? So first it depends on your opponent. It depends on what happened.
Koch talks about the texture of the table. He uses phrases like hand range, pot control, and straight value. For Koch, poker is clearly an academic pursuit.
Poker players have, like, aggregated all the theory and reasoning now, so where we're all thinking on a different level. The bad players now are better than the good players were 10 years ago. And it's not even close. It's not even close.
Still, while a batter in his second ever at-bat isn't going to have a chance against a pro pitcher, on this night, former pro Brian Koch is facing a strong challenge from this guy.
It's me and you, sir. The old vet and the newcomer.
Well, I have played twice, so...
Hector Ramos and Brian Koch trade the chip lead a few times, while other members of the Harvard Poker Thinking Society start to complain that they need to get back to studying. Ramos gets impatient and tries to go all in on a couple of questionable hands, but Koch stays steady and waits for the right cards.
This is the end.
I'm all in.
Yes! So I'm all in also in.
I have both.
Oh, no! No!
Koch beams and says even though there was no money at stake, he was very happy to come out on top. With the precision of a pro, he calculates that his odds of winning tonight started at just 30%. Koch doesn't just think in terms of what the game of poker can do for law students. He's also thinking about what law students can do for the game of poker.
You know, the timing for poker players to be in law school couldn't be more perfect given that online poker was recently made illegal. There's a lot of legal work to be done in the United States at this moment.
Those who choose to take up that charge will have an ally in Professor Charles Nesson. He says he's looking forward to the day when he can once again sit in bed playing online poker on his laptop while his wife Fern sits next to him enjoying her crossword puzzle. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.
That was a lot of fun. Thank you for having us.
Well done, Brian. Very good job.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Ferrati. Thanks to Jill Ryan at Here and Now. Our intern is Jillian Guybe. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Karen Given's poker photo gallery or learn more about this week's music selections, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Nuance, offering Dragon 11 speech recognition software for creating documents and emails and surfing the web all by speaking at nuance.com. And Oliver Wyman, a global management consulting firm with 3,000 professionals serving global 1,000 companies, oliverwyman.com. This is NPR.